Well, what a great way to start, folks. Yes, four-time Stanley Cup champion Darren McCarty here on this Friday night. Must be March. If we're listening to that, it's either the 26th or the eve. This is like Christmas Eve to me. 25-year anniversary of March 26, 1997. Joined, as always, by my partner in crime on this Friday night, Mr. Sean Bolegian and Eric Dortch, working the ones and twos, and Brandon Blake back in the office, making sure everything is tidied up. One thing that I just noticed there, Sean, came to my mind. I make stars. Mike Goldberg, who you heard there on the announcing, was here for 1 year, moved up to the USC. That must have been his fight training video that he talked his way into Dana White with. So, Goldie, shout out to you. But, wow, I don't know what's weirder is the fact that it was 25 years ago that that happened, or 25. I don't know what's further away in my mind. March 26, 97, or the first cup, which came 3 months later. Sometimes they seem so close. Sometimes they seem so far away. How are you this Friday night, Mr. Bolegian?
You know what, Mac? Tremendous. It's great to be chatting with you about this. I'm so bummed out that I can't make the event. Of course, your buddy Nick had asked me if I wanted to MC it. Mac, you know I'd be there, but my cousin's getting married. Congratulations to John and his bride-to-be. I wish I could be there, Mac. And, you know, for people out there that aren't aware of it, tell everybody what's going on tomorrow. It is such a cool and unique thing that you're going to be a part of tomorrow, man.
All right. Your cousin's name is John. And is John your cousin, and he's marrying the wonderful, what's your soon to be cousin-in-law's name?
You put me on the spot and I can't.
I did a nice job. Anyways,
give you about 2 seconds.
She is
and I'll
so
figure it
smart
out.
Because choosing March 26th as your wedding anniversary, there's so many things to rejoice. But, you know, before I came on and I just joined, Steve Courtney and Kenny Brown and the folks of Uncle Mitch's show to talk about tomorrow being the 25th year anniversary. Claude Lemieux is in town. And how do I know he's already in town? Because I just sat down myself, him and Kirk David, and did an hour question and answer about just for my grind time for me to have something in that you'll probably see me release here and there. But more of the same tomorrow night. If you want to be a part of it, I think tickets are $50. Fifth Avenue in Royal Oak. I watched the game, Sean, the March 26, 97, once a year on the anniversary. This will be the 25th year. So I said, hey, where's all my friends that want to watch it with me? Come on. And we're all friends out there. If you're listening to this or if you're watching this online or wherever you're finding this. So tomorrow night, Claude will be in the house. We're going to do sort of like the Manning cast, watch over the game and comment different things. But you know what, talk about things that I learned a few new things today, that in Claude's opinion, it didn't start with him being the villain in New Jersey and stuff. It started back in 1991 before I even came here. So it's interesting to hear that. But at the end of the day, I think it's just a lesson in life that bad things can happen, and when you don't hold yourself accountable, karma's real. But to this day, I think that, you know, the person Claude Lemieux and we've talked about it, the hockey player, they're two different people. And you know what, if you care about that, you want the bigger picture, you want to be involved, you got nothing to do, come on out tomorrow night to Fifth Avenue in Royal Oak. So if you missed that one, then on Sunday in Livonia, Adam Foote's even coming to town. We're gonna watch Sunday at the John Hughes Pro Sports Zone in Livonia from noon to three. We're actually going to do an autograph signing.
Oh, awesome. So
we got a busy, eventful day and eventful weekend. And I couldn't think of a better way to spend it with the fans, going over something that I still can't believe is 25 years.
Yeah, Mac, you know, there's so many questions that come to mind, and I've heard you talk about it. We've talked privately about it and everything. And I like what Goldberg said, because you knew it was coming. You just didn't know when. You know, it reminded me of the old school. You know, when you talk to some old school guys, a lot of times what they did, Mac, and I'm sure you talked to Ted Lindsay and so many of the legends, what they did is they kind of took the name and number. And it might not be the next game. It might not be three games from now. But that bill is going to come in. Did you privately have any inkling that that was going to be the night, that night, March 26th, was going to be the night?
It had to be, because that was sort of the last night for us to get the nemesis off the back. And I think the elaborate on rivalries and stuff like this, they owned us.
Yep.
We set the league record the year before, and they beat us to the playoffs. They beat us the first three games. Claude even says that he thought it was coming the first meeting in Colorado, and he wasn't ready for it coming March 26th. But that game, something was going to happen. It was just that we had to win the game. It was more important than the way it played out. I mean, you can't write a better script. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. But I think it goes to show you, I guess, the maturity of everybody involved and just how bigger scale. Because here's the whole thing. Here's the roundabout way. Okay? I'm doing my part. You're saying, why are you being nice to the bad guy, the villain? I said, well, because if he didn't do that, we wouldn't be sitting here with four cups. And it's time to play nice, because who is Claude Lemieux's agent, Sean?
I don't know. Who is it?
Mo Sider.
Oh.
Mo Sider. And I actually, I'll have a clip on Big D Energy on Monday. A little question I asked about the most impressive thing being his agent, of what it is with Mo Sider. And it's pretty cool. So, hey, it's 2022. You know what? You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to repent against them. It's like I always said, is that in the hockey action, the way it went down, bad things in hockey happen, right? And breaking it down, and it wasn't like it was egregious because of what happened and hitting from behind, but his response was the most egregiousness. And I don't accept the fact that you don't apologize. That's where I always had an issue. And that's where somebody, if you can see me right now, I'm pointing to the sky, the big fella upstairs or whatever her name is, whoever's bigger, greater controlling this thing. They had a plan. I just had to, you know, we all had a plan for the role. So tomorrow night, we're going to get into it. I can't believe it's 25 years. The brilliance that I love, Sean, and I love this, is because everybody's grown up now. Right? All the 5, 10, 15-year-olds are now 30, 35, 40. They've had kids. They got bills, everything else. It means a little bit more to the whole picture of life. Because this, you know, I say March 26, 97, for lack of a better term, was Red Wing D-Day. And that's just because I can tell the Star Wars story before and after from that day, in my opinion, from what I had, from not just hearsay of what came before me, but being a part of it and why it was. And I think that that's all, you know, to me, it's a huge part of what I am, who I am, and stuff like this, about sticking up for your loved one, your family members, different things like that. But I think everybody can relate to it. So I just think that if I'm going to preach destinations and oasis, it's part of the journey. Well, this weekend's a huge part of my journey, and I look forward to sharing it with as many people that want to share it with me.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, I know we're going to continue to talk about it. We have Mike O'Hara as well. Lots to do, Mac.
Yeah, we got lots to do here. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I got to ask, you know, Sean, we're going to dive into baseball a little bit, because I think from what I'm seeing, I want to know if what I'm seeing, am I getting a little too excited? What to expect? We're going to start off baseball talk here. We come back here, AM 760 WJR.
From the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is the Darren McCarty Show with Sean Ballegian and Red Wings legend Darren McCarty on 760 WJR, where Detroit comes to talk.
What's going on out here? It's a Friday night, March 25th. Welcome, Darren McCarty here, Sean Ballegian. You know, Sean, you know, I was going to bring up the Tigers and stuff like this. You said that people want to talk more about.
I've had three friends hit me up. I'm not joking. They hit me up going, dude, I can listen to Mac talk about that forever. Because, like, Mac, I tweeted this out, okay? There are unbelievable sporting events in our area. And you, being a kid from Leamington, you saw a lot of them. How many of them can be defined by a date? I mean, seriously, how many of, I mean, unless you're a real big nerd, you don't remember the dates that teams won championships. But you know what? You say March 26th, everybody knows. Everybody. And you brought up something that I would be, you know what a nerd I am. I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. Not only did they beat you in six in that series in 96, but what people forget is they took the first three games of the season series against you guys too. I mean, and that was something had to give. Really, it's that simple. Something had to give.
Well, that's the imperativeness of winning, right? Let's talk rivalries. Let's go back to Livonia. Livonia Novi, you know, we're talking hockey, we're talking football, we're talking high school. It's as big as that was, is that the only way out is through. So that's the whole reason is we needed to win that game because of the psychology of it, the psychological need that we needed to have because going into the playoffs, right? And the payoff is right there. I mean, everything has to come into place to be able to piece the story together the way that it's pieced together. But it's so much bigger than that, from where to start, from this and that. This was just sort of like the boom. This was Pearl Harbor, right? This was the explosions and all, you know, like what happened, you know, maybe for lack of a better term, because if you're going to go with those analogies, it all had to come down the line, right? The revenge, but we had to win the game. The story, the Hollywood, is the fact that the guy that got the revenge and did it first also got the goal to win the game. There's the Hollywood, but you can't deny that if you were a Red Wing fan, no matter where you were from, you felt the, oh my God, it's going to be all right. I don't know what it means. It's going to be all right. Because that mist or that whatever was hanging over, that smell, that stank, whatever they say, had been lifted for everybody and we can move forward. And, you know, even talking to Claude is that like psychologically they were fried and they just knew, you know, we were coming, but it was a matter of time. And it's nice to see it was like trying to hold us back because, you know, it's nice to hear the respect that from the outside, it was like a matter of time, but you know what, for a minute, I don't think they thought we were tough enough either. And that's the case that we proved it. So everything sort of falls into place and it's, you know, it just makes the story better, you know, because it's true. The best part, Sean, that the date, all this stuff is real.
Yep.
And the beauty is we get to share it now because the kids are older and it's just, if they're remembering, this is why they remember it and stuff like that. So, I mean, I said, it's all about the journey and tomorrow and on Sunday. And I know that, my goal is to have that fight picture in every household, man cave, woman cave, bar, whatever it is in the state. You know what? I guess now I hope that you have it with Claude Mew and Foot's autograph on it. So yeah. There you go. We got more next level stuff to do because it's as much part of all of everybody else as it is a part of me. Goes along with that. My love of the game, just because I played, is no greater than anybody else's. It's different.
Mac, you know what? It just to hear you talk about that, I mean, what people don't forget, it's not like you guys had a bad regular season, okay? I mean, you still finished with 94 points, but you had 24 less wins in 96-97 than you did in 24 less wins.
And you won the cup.
And you won the cup. You finished third up in the conference. And you know what? From March 26th, it was like, okay, got it out of the way. Now let's focus winning on games. And I don't think you can put enough significance into what that did. I've said that for 25 years. You can't say enough because whether you want to believe it or not, there were a lot of people out there going, maybe the Wings window closed. Maybe 95-96 was their best shot. You lost the finals in 95. And I mean, heck, who knew that the best was yet to come it was yet to come.
Who could have known?
Yeah.
Who could have known? Because it was climbing and get kicked back down. How are you going to get kicked down in another way? I know that the scariest feeling that I've ever had as whether we're going to win or not was after losing, you know, you're in shock of what happened to Drapes. You don't really understand what happened till after, like that's what I say, trying to think back why there wasn't so much outrage at the time. Chris Draper, and I said this today, his nickname is Nails because he proved why he was tough as nails, because he skated off, right? So when a guy skates off, you don't think that he just broke his jaw in four spots and crushed his orbital. You think maybe he broke his nose, cut himself, whatever, stitches, it's still. But you're more concerned at the time to win the game because it's game six and you're against the wall and you want a four-minute power play or a five-minute penalty, right? That's what you're concerned with. You don't know that the guy just annihilated your, you know, buddy like that. You know that there's retribution. But again, like I say, it's just it just added to the story, the fact that he didn't apologize, and the fact that, you know, the Kozlov stuff in game three, like with foot before, and then Lemieux getting suspended the year before because of Sucker and Kazi and all this stuff. It had come to a head. And like you said, Sean, the best thing is, like, who would have thunk?
Yeah. Well, it's outstanding. Can't believe it's 25 years. It's one of those moments, Mac, where, you know, depending on how old you are, you'll never, ever forget. Now, I know I probably told you this, but for the benefit of my listeners, I was at a bar in, well, of all places, Livonia. And when it started, the thing that I will never forget is there was like a silence that seemed like it lasted for 5 minutes. But it in reality, it was probably 2 seconds. But everybody, like the whole bar just went, oh, my gosh, it's 1987 again. Because we hadn't seen something of that significance really since they put the bench clearing rules into place. I mean, it was that big. It was from an era gone by.
No, it was something that you probably won't see anymore. And the fact when the goalies are coming out and, you know, at the time. And I know you, where it was like, oh, wow, is this really happening, right? Because here's the one thing leading up to it, right? There was so much hype about what was going to happen. And the execution outweighed any of the expectation,
yep,
which was over the top. Right, the over the top about something, and it wasn't, it was just like more or less, how was it going to happen? Right, and after that, after the game, and it's, you know, we had to win the game, and that's what propelled us, because psychologically, we were better. I want to ask Dorchy, how old were you, Eric, back that day?
I was eight years old.
Do you remember it at all? Were you a Wings fan, or when did you first? Yeah. When did
I
you
remember
first?
Wings fans.
What?
Oh, yeah, I'm a Wings fan. Like there were three houses, like two neighbors of mine. We would all get together at each other's houses to watch the playoff games and all that. So, I mean, I remember it. I obviously, you know, I was eight, so I was probably either in bed or doing my homework at the time, but I remember it. I remember hearing about it the next day at school. That's all everybody was talking about, how big it was. Cause, you know, even at eight, you knew you hated Colorado. You didn't know why you hated Colorado, but you hated Colorado. That's just what it was.
Colorado and Ohio State, right?
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. You're trained to do it. But I was eight and I do remember it. I can remember sitting in my neighbor's living room watching the Stanley Cup finals. I remember when you scored the goal. I remember all that stuff.
All right, before I go to break, let's get him on the line because I got Michael here coming on DetroitLions.com talk about some free agent signings and stuff, but it wouldn't be a Friday night and it wouldn't be a March 26th eve without hearing from my guy, Mr. Positive
Warriors,
Greg from Shelby. Greg, what's up, bud?
Warriors, do you feel it? Do you know what I mean? The moment is coming to awaken your dreams. And lastly, it's Friday night. Let the games begin. Oh, my God, D-Mac. Like Shawnee B was saying, I could listen to you all night talk about this. Oh, my God. Real quick, you said you're going to be in Livonia from 12 to 3 tomorrow. Where?
No, Sunday.
Where?
Sunday at Pro Sports Zone.
Johnny, where's that located?
Place. It's at the Laurel Place
Laurel
Mall.
Park, yeah, Laurel Park, Park Mall. Mall.
Laurel,
yep.
Park Mall. My apologies.
Oh, it's all good. Oh, my God,
come
D-Mac.
Come over Sunday. Come and say hello or come tomorrow.
I will.
5 to 9.
Yes.
Whatever it
oh
is.
Oh, my God. Love you, my friend. Love you, Shawnee B, Dorchy, Blakey. You guys are awesome. And
this
event is unbelievable.
You giving me the eight of spades, bro? Or how you doing? You sound good.
Everything I'm good? Feeling very good. Thank
right.
you, D-Mac.
Good.
Doing well.
All right,
matters, Greg.
Right here.
Love you guys.
All right, thanks for calling. Like I said, when we come back, we will talk to Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com. You listen to Darren McCarty Show here, AM760 WJR.
This is the Darren McCarty Show on 760 WJR, where Detroit comes to talk. Now here's Sean Bolegian and Detroit Red Wings legend Darren McCarty.
Oh, man, having so much fun here on a Friday night. The sweet revenge fight night at the Joe Eve the day before. And you know what? When I think of fun in this town, I think about a guy who's been having so much fun, especially with the Detroit Lions since 1976. My guy, backup bass player for Grindr. You better be ready. We're back on the road, hitting the festival scene in June. But his day job is DetroitLions.com. He's our guy, the Dean, Mr. Mike O'Hara. How are you this evening, sir?
All right, guys. Thanks for the nice opening there. That's pretty cool. But I've given up on being a bass player. I don't think I have it.
Well, I had to give you the great opening because what am I watching with these Detroit Lions right now, especially with re-signing? The question I hear, Mike, is they were 3-13 and won last year. You know, why are they re-signing these guys? What I've seen, is this true, is that the deals that they've been handing out have either been earned or else it's something that if they don't work out, there's not really long-term commitments.
Right. Well, it's part of what they did last year, Derek, when they took over this organization to rebuild the foundation. They had what we call prove-it contracts, you know, 1 year prove-it, and some guys prove it. And as it goes on, and a lot more didn't, you know, like Alex Anzalone, the linebacker, to their eyes, he proved it, you know, other guys in the same category. Then today they reached back into their history, into the history books, and brought back Jared Davis, you know, the linebacker who they drafted in the first round 4 years ago, played 3 years here, won with the Jets last year, and now he's back in Detroit because I think they liked what they saw in him, his possibility and his potential when he was here, and then what he might have done in the Jets organization last year, but they think that he's a fit for here. And one thing that you got to keep in mind with the signing of Jared Davis today, he wasn't brought in by this management and coaching team. They weren't here, you know, Brad Holmes, the GM, the head coach, Dan Campbell. They weren't here when he was drafted. He wasn't here for any part of his career. So this is basically what they saw on him fits their scheme, regardless of what he might have done the previous 3 years in Detroit and then 1 year with the Jets.
Mike, that's such a great point, and I certainly don't want to cast this as Matt Patricia is the villain, but how much validity is there to the point that I've heard so many people make that, you know, the problem with Matt Patricia and Jared Davis is he played Jared Davis out of position. Do you think that there's some, I guess, validity to that?
I don't know about out of position, but maybe just that whole scheme didn't fit him. But I will say this, in his second year, guys, maybe week 8 or week 9 through the end of the season, he was playing good football, and that was his second year. And he was really getting the grasp of playing in the National Football League. I mean, look, University of Florida, big-time competition, all that, but it's not the National Football League. And I thought at the end of, you know, towards the end of the second half of that season, he ended up with 6 sacks, I think it was 10 tackles for loss, a bunch of other things, you know, quarterback hits, things that they do. Really what you call impact plays, not just tackles, but plays, playmaking. I thought he was sort of on his way to really becoming a good player in the National Football League, but he got hurt in the preseason the next year, missed a couple of games with the opener, missed some more games down the line. It never really was the same player. So if you got him healthy, you got him refreshed, and you got him in a system that the coaches believe in.
Mike O'Hara kindly joining us. He, of course, from the DetroitLions.com. I thought you had a really nice piece the other day on another linebacker. Mike, you knew they were going to be busy at that position, but tell everybody what you see out of Chris Board.
Well, that's kind of interesting to me because he made the Baltimore Ravens roster as an undrafted free agent. And look, that is a perennial contender. Now, things don't always go their way. You know, I think only the Patriots went at their peak, you know, everything went their way. But he made that opening day roster, you know, played 10 snaps at linebacker and 27 on special teams. Now, special teams under John Harbaugh, the head coach there, when you make his hardcore special teams, you've done something. Let's just remember about Harbaugh. He was a special teams coordinator for 10 years in the National Football League before he became a head coach. And the Ravens are renowned year in, year out. In the last 15 years, he's been the head coach there, being the best, one of the best special teams units year in, year out. So what he's done, you know, what Board has done in those 4 years is incrementally strengthen his position on that roster. 4 years right from the beginning, he was a hardcore special teamer, but he gradually got more playing time. He went from 14 defensive snaps as a rookie to 64 to 200 and something, to then to 300 and something his fourth year there. And one thing about him, he's got a reputation of being a good defender. And as a linebacker, that's important because if you watch the Lions over the last few years, many years I would say, defending linebackers, defending the underneath zones and pass coverage has been a weakness for him. That seems to be the strength of Chris Board.
And I think talking to Michael here, DetroitLions.com, is the fact that, like what you said, coming from Baltimore, coming from that, playing that position, which that is, at the end of the day, that hard-nosed defensive style or whatever, that adds some pedigree. Whether you're talking about Jared Davis or Chris Borg or whatever, to me, it starts obviously with Brad Holmes, but it's also too Aaron Glenn still being there for another year is huge, because having that same, we saw the effort and different things, the maturation of some guys that we talked about on defense. Who, in your opinion, Mike, is the most impressive offseason pick? Is it Borg because of what he can do, or is it, you know, one of the re-signings, because you mentioned it earlier, to come in and play and earn your contract, Charles Harris? So who, in your opinion, is the best re-signing or free agent signing?
Well, I think the best free agent signing would be J.D. Chark. DJ Chark, I'm sorry, I get his initials mixed up. DJ Chark,
I call
wide
him
receiver.
Shark, so I guess it's J.D. Shark now. Because I always think of the David Shark song.
That too, but he's... But yeah, I thought he was probably the best signing because, look, he's got the ability to really, you know, he's 6'4" and he can run and he can get down the sideline on you. He can get behind a secondary and then open up other things underneath him. And I think that's something they've really been lacking. But the other one is simply the guy that you mentioned, Charles Harris. Look, they brought him in last year on a 1-year contract, and he really, as a former first round draft pick by the Miami Dolphins. He had three and one half sacks in his first four seasons in the National Football League. I'm sorry, he had a total of seven in his first four seasons in the National Football League. He had 7.5 last year for the Detroit Lions, and he really, and I mean really, came on strong in the second half. And it wasn't just the sacks. It was the quarterback hits. It was the tackles for loss. It was the pressures and the energy that he brought to the Detroit Lions defense. Now, look, you can look at the statistics all you want, and they're 29th in this and 28th in that, and couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And all of that is valid. It really is. But just on the eye test, and you know, I try to look at stats, and I try to look at what I think I see and what I really believe I saw and evaluate from there. And I thought the Detroit Lions, in the last 4, 5, 6 games of the season, I thought that, that on the eye test, I thought that they passed the eye test as a team that got better as opposed to deteriorating slowly as the season went on, which had been the case particularly in the last two seasons under the previous coaching regime.
Mike O'Hara kindly joining us, of course, DetroitLions.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well as I do at Mike O'Hara NFL. Mike, I hate to throw you a curveball, but is there a wind of change in regards to the overtime rule? I've seen some stories that, you know, there are a couple different proposals out there. Have you heard anything about there perhaps being a change?
I think it's being brought up at the owners' meetings, which begin, I think, Monday. I think they're Monday down in Florida. First of all, my opinion, all of this stuff has been, you make the rules, I'll watch the game. I don't care what the rules are. I just play what the rules are. You know what I mean? Honestly, I don't care. You can get 5 balls and 6 strikes in baseball, and I'd probably feel the same way. But I don't see anything really what's wrong with the overtime rules now. Usually the teams that are whining the most are the ones that got, you know, that maybe lost a game. that they thought they might have had a better chance to win under a different rule. And then when that rule gets changed and there's another one, someone else will be complaining. So yeah. I'm the National Football League. You listen to everybody, you know, take the votes and all that. But I don't really see anything passing. Now, there have been exceptions to that, and that's when they, you know, move the ball back on extra points and all that. That was pretty universally thought around the league that it was time for a change on that because they were becoming so automatic. But it's not often you really just the first time out of the chute that you get the owners to agree to something because they really, you know, want to test it in the preseason and things like that before they do anything about it.
Any thoughts before I let you go on what's going on in Green Bay, the Tyreek Hill trade, Devontae Adams down? I mean, is the North up for grabs? We got a chance or what?
I think we have a better chance than we had before. I really do. There's no doubt about that. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers gets his, you know, $150 million guaranteed, I guess it was, or $149,999 guaranteed, whatever he got, and all of a sudden his best receiver, who everybody thought they were, you know, tied to at the hip for life, says, heck with you, pal. I'm going to go play for the Raiders with my college buddy, you know, Devontae Adams. And then Stallings takes off today, signs with somebody else. So he's really lost his two top receivers. And, you know, it's one of the things that people said could happen to that team, that when you commit that much of the salary cap to one guy, you've got to take it from somebody else. And whether that's the case or they, you know, a couple of guys just got out of town on their own because they wanted to try something else at a different place, I don't know. But it's certainly a sign of what's happened in the National Football League. But, guys, I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like this in the National Football League at this time of year with trades of high profile, high, you know, Hall of Fame candidate quarterbacks, contracts, $150 million guaranteed, $160 million guaranteed, $233 million guaranteed, all of that. It's been absolutely amazing. And not just quarterbacks, but players at other positions too.
Well, no wide receivers are getting paid like quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean? So it used to be the quarterback, get the quarterback, protect the quarterback, and now catch the ball. So what does this mean for running backs? Right? They're more
probably
apparent
not as
to
much.
The fact that they're a dime a dozen.
Yep, that's the way they use them. It's not – look, while they're in the game, it's, you know, it's a priority that they play well. They're just not in the game as much. But while they're in there, they contribute. Like Leonard Fournette, 3 years, $21 million. He probably thought he was underpaid.
Unbelievable.
Right,
great stuff, Mike.
Isn't that great stuff, Mike. Thanks again. And you know what? I always use Mike as my gauge. And if he's saying this is crazy, that's what I thought it was because nobody's seen more football than you. Thanks as always, my friend. Make sure
all
you guys
catch thanks
his
for having me.
Call him on
just
Detroit
keep in mind,
Lions, the.com.
Just keep in mind, I'm crazy too.
Yeah, that's why you're the backup bass player for Grindr, baby. Heck yeah, you can see your stage dives. Don't matter how long he's been around, he's got a heck of a stage dive. That's Mike O'Hare. I love it. Anyways, here on the Darren McCurdy Show, when we come back, we're going to tie this up with a cute little bow. What's in the microwave? What's on the grill? The weather's getting nice this weekend. I expect lots from Shawnee B. Anyways, thanks for listening here, Darren McCurdy Show, AM 760 WJR.
This is the Darren McCurdy Show on 760 WJR, where Detroit comes to talk. Now here's Sean Bolegian and Detroit Red Wings legend, Darren McCurdy.
Oh yeah, baby, we got it off the rails here. Brandon Blake just steering left and right. It reminded me of the movie Twister, riding into the tornado. Sean and I were just enjoying the Dorchester. We've made an orchestra of Eric Dorch's name, and we like to sing it on break and just whatever, because that's what you do when you're senile. Anyways, last segment of the show here on this Friday night. Again, look forward to seeing everybody who's coming out tomorrow night. You're still invited 5 to 9, Royal Oak, Fifth Avenue, viewing Fight Night Reloaded. Claude Lemieux and Darren McCurdy will be doing their edition of sort of the Manning cast and through the game. So that, and we'll do some Q&A after and stuff like that. So that'd be exciting. And Sunday in Livonia at the Laurel Place Mall. Is that correct, Sean?
Laurel Park Mall.
Laurel Park Mall.
Yep.
You got Pro Sports Zone from noon to 3. Adam Foote, Claude Lemieux, and myself will be signing. More importantly, Dortch, you in or you're at home? You're at home, aren't you?
I'm at home. I'm sitting in the spare bedroom.
Oh, man, Dortch. B, you got the overnights, bro?
No, I do not. Jason,
you got the
does.
Overnights, or does Jason have overnights?
Jason has the overnight. What's
Jason and I are there all weekend.
Yes.
You are? Okay, Dortch, do you have anything? Maybe I'll go off the – do you have anything prepared? Because I've been proud of you the way that you've been prepping healthy lunches. I think I've been getting a lot of tweets on Darren McCarty 4 about how proud they are of the way that you're trying to be healthy in there. But what will be I know you're going to be watching the match playing golf.
Oh, absolutely.
So what will you be eating when you're watching that?
Aaron gave me the menu for this weekend.
What do you got? We're
having some salmon tonight. Ooh. So I'll have some of that tomorrow. We're going to make some chicken lo mein tomorrow. Oh. And then Sunday is turkey burgers.
Dortch.
So, got a nice little menu for the weekend.
You know what, Sean?
Not bad.
I gotta say that it still doesn't get them any closer to your barbecue.
No.
But I like the fact of how he's planning it out. I mean, there's some maturity on the household, and I thank Aaron for leading young Eric that way. But let's more importantly, what's on the grill?
You know what? I have John and Ashley's wedding tomorrow, and then I'm doing 3 different types of ribs. I'm doing a rack of St. Louis, I'm doing Memphis style, and then I'm doing slathered, and then some wings and sausages. Sunday is a rare day where we're all going to be home, so I'm using both smokers all day. So we're going to have a barbecue day.
Ooh, double smokers! Wow! Gosh darn it, Eric, doesn't that sound delicious?
I can't. Oh, man. It sounds amazing.
We'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
It does sound amazing. I think the weather's supposed to be nice too, Sean.
It's going to be cold, but you know what? I'm totally cool around the smokers, man. It keeps me warm.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Well, for Brandon Blake, thank you for all you do. Eric Dortch. Don't forget the T's in there. Sean Belize, and I'm Darren McCarty. And I want to wish everybody a happy 25th. Fight Night Sweet Revenge. This has been another edition of Darren McCarty's show. See ya!